and it's so good to hear from you.
Thank you for listening.
Don't you have any bunk?
Tackle, 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 tackle.
Ah, welcome in, Jones and Mego with Arcan. You can call in 617-779-7937. Like all those Arcan stands have been doing lately.
Keep them coming.
How do those keep sneaking through? I don't know.
Arcan, it's so good to hear from you.
It is good to hear from you. Guy's not lying.
No, he has to be. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Some Red Sox thoughts, some Bruins thoughts. Of course, more lingering thoughts on Jaylen Brown, because how could you not? But I want to start Patriots, and I want to start with a newsy item off the top that I think pairs with some more Devin McCourty audio. Like, every day there's new Devin McCourty audio, and every day McCourty's ripping the Pats, and I kind of love it, but I got to be honest, I did not see this level of heel turn coming from Devin McCourty. So we'll get to what he had to say to Chris Long coming up about Steve Belichick. But quickly, the news of the hour is that the Patriots are indeed bringing back Joe Judge. He'll be an assistant head coach, according to Burt Breer, and that will be his role with the Patriots in 2023. There will be some personnel elements and some parallels to Matt Patricia's job in 2021 before he was made the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. He reports directly to Bill. He signed some contracts. Didn't McCourty say to Greg Hill last week? He said that when I met with the coaching staff on the way out, Joe Judge was there. So, like, he might be doing some personnel, doing some contracts similar to Patricia. On field, Breer adds, he'll work closely with Cam Acord and Joe Houston on special teams. So, Mego, your thoughts, because I didn't quite connect the dots on this one.
So, this really surprised me, the title that they gave him, assistant head coach role. I guess that's the title that's being reported by Albert Breer. Phil Perry followed this up with, it'll be interesting to see, he tweeted this out, it'll be interesting to see if this is an assistant head coach role or assistant to the head coach role,
right,
which are two very different things, because this assistant head coach is along the lines of the titles that were, you know, at least out there that Jerod Mayo could have been taking coming back with the Patriots. Now, Jerod Mayo, as far as we all know, there's been no official statement.
Nope.
But he's been working with the Patriots. He's with the Patriots. But it was associate head coach for Jerod Mayo, assistant head coach for Jerod Mayo. So it's just a little confusing to me. And what's Jerod Mayo doing? Because I care about Jerod Mayo way more than Joe Judge.
Oh, he's the coach in waiting.
And I want to know what Jerod Mayo's title is then.
So if Joe Judge is an assistant to Belichick, but Jerod Mayo is the associate head coach, then no harm, no foul, right?
Absolutely. That's great.
Okay.
Assistant to Bill Belichick is basically, I have no problem with
but
that.
But you're worried Mayo may be getting boxed out.
Or that he's getting a just that Joe Judge is getting a title
above Mayo.
Titles
above Jerod Mayo.
That's getting boxed out,
and
I think.
Titles matter a lot to someone like Jerod. Maybe they don't matter to Bill Belichick, but they matter to these assistants, especially Jerod Mayo, who's giving up potential opportunities outside of the New England Patriots because of his future here.
And I think it matters to Robert Kraft, too. Where'd that statement come from way back when, at the beginning of the offseason? So I first read it, and I'm like, oh, this is what Reese reported over the weekend. Reese wrote, when McCourty told the story of how he informed Belichick of his decision to retire in a radio interview here on WEEI with Greg Hill, he described how he walked into Bill's office and Joe Judge was there meeting with Belichick. That reflects what some believe will ultimately be Judge's role with the team this year, a senior advisor to Belichick. So if he's boxing out Mayo, that is a big concern, because I think Kraft wants Mayo as the associate head coach, assistant head coach, reporting to Bill. And Bill may want Joe Judge doing that. And Bill may be disagreeing with Robert Kraft, which certainly wouldn't be the first time. And I think that brings us to the audio from the last 24 hours, where Devin McCourty goes on Chris Long's podcast and drops another bomb. Like, I've been amused by this tour by Devin McCourty. But he goes on, and I just found it, did anybody else find it interesting that Chris Long, out of everything he could ask, I know it was a longer interview, out of everything he can ask, he asks about Steve Belichick. Like, isn't that an interesting question? Like, why even ask it unless he knew where it was going to go, unless he knew this story and knew what Devin McCourty was going to say? If you're unfamiliar, here's Devin McCourty on the Chris Long Green Light podcast when asked about Steve Belichick.
I think the one thing that I've loved about Steve is honesty.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Steve takes over I forgot who left. I think Pat Graham left. Flo's moving to linebacker coach. And Steve said Bill tells him 2 weeks before the offseason program starts that he's going to be the safety coach. Mm-hmm. So he comes in there. Now he's walking in a room. It's me, Pat Chung, Daron Harmon, Nate Ebner. So he's walking in, and we got all these veterans. I'm older than Steve. Pat's older than Steve. He played with Daron, and he's probably like the same age as Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in there, and he goes, yo, I'll be honest with y'all. I don't know what the F I'm doing right now. My dad told me 2 weeks ago that I was even going to have this job. And now I'm just sitting here like, I don't know what, like, what's next?
Yeah.
And that first year, we all just worked together. And then now, so now when I look at him, I think his growth has come because of the honesty.
Yeah.
Not coming in saying like, you know, my dad's Bill Belichick. I was born to coach. Like, I'm going to do this. Nah, he came in there and was like, I'm going to learn from some veterans that I got in this room, take advantage of that opportunity that I get, and I'm going to grow as a coach.
Okay, so if you didn't catch all of that, Steve Belichick gets the job, walks in, and goes to Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon, who he played with at Rutgers, and goes, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what the F I'm doing, guys.
I don't know what the F I'm doing right now.
Bill's kid, and we all knew this at the time, and it just proves how right we were to call it out at the time and continue to talk about it, beat it into the ground, some of you feel, but this is why. He was never qualified for the job. He's letting you know, or Devin, through Steve Belichick, is letting you know. He didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't qualified for the job. He didn't deserve the job. And I think it ties in with Joe Judge. Joe Judge never deserved that job. Matt Patricia didn't deserve the job that he had last year. Bill is being reckless. This is my takeaway, Mego. Bill is being reckless. Last year, 10 years ago or whatever it was with Steve Belichick, 8 years ago, reckless. And the whole idea that Bill does what's best for the team is such garbage. It's such crap. And anybody who believes it, you know, it's Jerry Thornton at Barstool or somebody like that. If you actually believe it, or you're six, Bill does the best thing for the team? No. Bill does what's best for Bill and Bill's kids and the buddies or the kids of Bill's buddies or whatever. That's what Bill does. He doesn't do what's, best for the team. That's such crap. He does whatever he wants. And I think
always do what's best for the football team.
No, McCourty's letting you know. We see this Joe Judge stuff. Like, all of it, you're able to tell and find out that Bill's acting recklessly and
you're
doing what's best.
Fit to speak his name.
Doing what's best for Bill. That's what it is.
Here's what panics me most about this little anecdote, because it falls in line with a pattern of behavior. Which is, so Pat Graham, safeties coach, leaves 2 weeks before the offseason program starts. So I'm guessing that's OTAs. Maybe they're looking at training camp. 2 weeks before, Bill turns to his kid and says, you know what, why don't you take over for him? You've never done this before. You take over for him. 2 weeks before. Like, that's where I look at this, whether it's a place on the roster, whether it's an assistant coach. It's just, there's no plan. It feels like recently there is no, it looks like top to bottom, there's no plan. Shuffle this person here, I'll teach them how to do it. They'll figure it out, they'll learn on the fly. Through osmosis, everyone's going to be great. And it just hasn't proven out when you don't have the top talent here anymore. I mean, in this scenario, it worked out because, again, look at that safety room. Pat Chung, Daron Harmon, Nate Ebner.
Yeah, and look who was at quarterback. Like,
McCourty.
You could do anything you wanted when Tom Brady was here. As Bill's finding out, you can't do it anymore.
Here's the point. I mean, we're talking about guys who are vets.
He could have thrown his kid in at running back if he wanted to when Brady was here.
But in this instance, it worked out because Bill puts an inexperienced young coach, who happens to be his son, in with a very experienced, veteran, mature group. What you have with the Patriots over the last couple years, in one way or another, is mostly not that.
No.
It's young guys. It's guys who are in their first or second years in the league, not just with the Patriots.
That is very different than
Judge and Patricia. Some older guys who are coming in, it is their first or second year with the Patriots. They're coming in as free agents. They haven't worked with these coaches or in this very specialized Gillette system or anything. And it's like, well, 2 weeks before, we'll just figure it out. Oh, I guess... You know, I'll go have my kid do it.
What's your takeaway from this, Arkan? Because I think it's Bill being reckless. I think it blows up the narrative that Bill just does what's best for the team. I mean, that's how I connect the dots between the Joe Judge story from Breer today and that McCourty audio from the Chris Long
podcast. I'd agree with you more in the case of Steve Belichick if Bill wasn't also always bringing up like random lacrosse coaches from the Colorado School of Mines and bringing them up into, you know, prominent roles in the team.
I love lacrosse.
I know you do, Bill.
What do you mean? That's also reckless.
No, I know it is, but I'm saying, like, as a nepotism thing, like, he does it with all sorts of different people. It's not like he was just doing it for his kid. He does that all the time. It's, like, part of his thing. It's part of his whole mantra, I think, is bringing up inexperienced young coaches, sort of bringing them under his wing. This so happens to be his son. He has two sons on the coaching staff, and I think that they're treated similarly to the way a lot of these other guys are, just in the sense of it's not always a premium put on experience, and it's been like that since before Steve Belichick got here, I guess. And you're right. I mean, obviously, Brady and the success of the team covered up a lot of that, but now we're to a point where I think with a new young quarterback and a very sort of new team, you have to have a little bit stronger of leadership there, and I'm not sure if it's there.
So, I don't love what Bill's still doing with the coaching staff. Like, I still don't love it. Bill O'Brien's an upgrade on offense. We'll see if Adrian Clem is any good. I have no idea. I don't think anybody has any idea. He didn't make it through his first year. Was it his first year in Pittsburgh? His first 2 years in Pittsburgh? Whatever it was. Nobody has any clue if he's any good. So I like O'Brien, but I thought he was overrated as a play caller here. His offense is stunk in Houston. I made this point yesterday. Like, you won 10 games with Josh McDaniels and Mac. You won 8 with Patricia / Judge and Mac. How many wins is O'Brien worth? He's not as good as McDaniels. So what are we talking, 9 wins? Like, I don't feel that great about the coaching staff. And my bigger question to you, it's 617-779-7937. How are you feeling about Bill these days?
Our phone lines are open.
They are. And how much do you trust him to do what's best for the team? He says he's going to do what's best for the team. Do you actually trust him? Should I give him more trust than I am? And are you in that camp where you trust Bill to do the right thing for the team? Because these examples, to me, fly in the face of that. 617-779-7937. Devin McCourty was not done dropping bombshells with that one quote. We have more. And I think you're seeing another example of Bill losing the team. All that right after Trending with Christian Arcand.
Now back to Jones and Mego.
I'm going to be wearing a Marcus Smart jersey and no pants.
On WEEI.
I literally had my first conversation with Bill Friday about 2023, and I told him I was retiring. Like, there was no contract conversation.
So how does that work? Do you just reach out and say, hey, I need to talk to you, and I'm coming to the stadium? Or like,
well, I've been going to the stadium every day.
Okay, so you just say, hey, can I get together with you?
I went in. Barish wasn't in his office right before Bill's office, so I walked to Bill's office. Opened the door. It was him, Joe Judge, and Barish just talking. I was like, hey, coach, can we talk for a second? And it was like, it was that easy.
Devin McCourty last week on the Greg Hill Show, which was a jump-off point for Mike Reese over the weekend, writing about Joe Judge in a senior advisor role.
Mike Reese, big piece. What's up, baby?
And then we get the news today from Burt Breer that it might be a bigger role than that. It might be even more than what Mike Reese was leading on. It might be above Gerard Mayo. An assistant head coach role is what Burt Breer says. And it's Jones and Mego with Arcand. We're here till 6 on a Thursday with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We'll get to you here shortly. I think Bill is acting reckless when it comes to his coaching staff, and I think he's been doing it for a long period of time. Last year is an obvious example of that. But even go back to 2015, when he brings in Steve Belichick with the safety group, and he says, I don't know what the F I'm doing. And he's not qualified. He only got the job because he's Bill's kid, which we all knew at the time. What?
Well, for the record, I do want to say, I think Steve is a great coach now. I think he's a really good coach. Mm. Players love him. Mm. He's just not the meetings guy. Mm. Gerard is the meetings guy.
Okay.
I think he's a good coach. The other thing I would say is...
But do you have the role... Would he have the role he had if he wasn't Bill's kid?
No, he's a Nepo baby. Okay. That's the term.
No, I think he could get a job somewhere else now, though.
Do you think he'd have... Yeah,
because I think he's a good coach now.
But you gotta run the meetings. Do you think he'd be allowed to not run the meetings if Bill wasn't his dada? Like, do you think they'd split the job like that? Or would they say, no, this guy can't run meetings. He's a linebacker coach. Like, that's what Bill would say about somebody else.
Sure,
maybe, but every other team
meetings.
Has defensive coordinators with that title. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to compare them, you know?
Sure, but I'm saying, I think if Bill had a candidate for defensive coordinator who couldn't run meetings, he'd go, yeah, I don't know if this is the guy for that job. And he would never give him that responsibility. He'd be a position coach.
Oh, I feel like Bill wouldn't care.
He'd stay a position coach.
So they all find someone else to run the meeting. You're still the coordinator.
Maybe I'm very wrong like about you. That, but I don't know.
But here's the other part is
yes.
that I do just want to give credit to Steve for, according to McCourty's story, is it's like the exact opposite of the way that Joe Judge acted last summer.
Yeah,
which
and
I
Patricia.
Hated so much when Joe Judge did that. I hated that.
Fair point.
I hated that he got upset with Mac Jones for saying, I'm going to learn from him and he'll learn from me. And that caused such a kerfuffle bothers me so much. So Steve Belichick walking in there openly to guys who are older than him, veteran players, and being like, my dad put me here. I don't know what the F I'm doing. I'm like, power to you, man. That is I'm not going to say that's awesome because
so
he shouldn't be in that role then. But like that makes me love Steve Belichick.
No, it's just it does show a little bit of self-awareness. I mean, it was honest. He doesn't know what he's doing. Of course he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not qualified. But at least he's honest.
It's like beta strength. That's what it is. He's a beta male and he's showing beta strength.
Wait, it's beta strength. True. I didn't realize that's what that was. I need to exude more of that. I'm definitely a beta. I don't know how much beta strength I have.
I don't know what you are. I don't know what you are. You're not in the alphabet. You're outside
the group. Yeah, I somehow have a number. I don't know.
Jones is the omega.
But when it comes to Belichick, there is some self-awareness there. Steve Belichick, I'm talking about now. To not be Patricia and Judge and be like, oh yeah, we know what we're doing. We can do this job. At least
I don't know what the F I'm doing right now.
At least he came in and acknowledged he didn't know. But are you afraid Gerard Mayo is getting boxed out of a job? And is this another example of Bill being reckless on top of Judge and Patricia last year, on top of his kids getting the jobs and lacrosse coaches getting the jobs, etc.? Are you worried that Kraft is saying Gerard Mayo's the coach in waiting, Gerard Mayo's the next guy, and Bill says, oh yeah? Joe Judge is going to answer to me.
Yes.
And Joe Judge is going to be above Gerard Mayo, and it's like a stare down between Bill and Kraft.
I really am concerned because we got this statement immediately pretty much after the season ended that Gerard Mayo is in contract talks to come back to the Patriots along with the announcement that they were actually going to interview for an offensive coordinator. And then we never got an update again. And I had assumed that now Gerard Mayo is basically Bill Belichick's right-hand man and learning everything about being a head coach through him. And I like Gerard Mayo, and I think he would be a good heir apparent. And so to have Joe Judge, somebody who never stops talking, be in the room seemingly at all times, like Devin McCourty's trying to go in and retire, and he's like, I can't find Bears. Where's Bears? And then he goes and he sees Bears is in there, and who's in there? Like McCourty probably had to stand there. He's probably laughing because he had to stand there for 5 minutes while Joe Judge finishes some story about his breakfast sandwich or something.
Here in the field, it's very different when you go through different zones.
You know, when I was the third string quarterback at Mississippi State, here's how we did it. Fifth string, whatever he was. He
tells long stories about his breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, Bill's going to be like, okay, so I'm going to tell you this thing about it. You don't think equipment managers are important. And
but
then, you can't find yourself in some hot water. So here's what you want to do with the equipment. And then Joe Judge comes in and he's like, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a ball that is overinflated, underinflated. You got to be careful with the balls. I personally like this kind of ball. And he goes on for like 5 minutes. And Mayo probably just walks away.
Oh,
and he's like, I'm done.
Don't you hate those kind of people, Arcan, who just never stop talking?
Yeah.
Like those are the worst.
The worst.
Like
the worst.
And they have these opinions and these hot takes. Like who is
a whole segment?
Who could possibly take up a whole segment?
Is anyone else annoyed that there's now three special teams coaches?
We haven't touched on the Cam Acord side of it.
I think this is the one good. Well, Acord shouldn't be back, but I think Judge being involved on special teams actually is not the worst thing in the world. But quickly, Arcan, and we can get to that. Are you worried about getting Gerard Mayo getting boxed out?
If I thought that they were really doing that, yes. But they made a whole big show about keeping him and elevating him and all this other stuff. I know they haven't done it.
Whose show is that? Whose show is that?
That was Robert Kraft's, obviously. Okay. But I think
whose show is this?
He says goes.
It's the Omega and Mego show.
That's right. Omega and Mego. That's a cool sounding show.
Isn't it like an anagram? Is
Mego
the yin and the yang?
Yeah. Well, no,
Mego
but when
Omega.
When you rearrange the letters and it makes another word, what is that?
An anagram.
A palindrome.
No.
It's an
anagram.
Goes forward.
A palindrome is forward.
It's an anagram.
Poop would be a palindrome.
Race car. Mine's more clever.
Poop is a palindrome.
Is race car one?
Race car, yes. Race car spelled backwards.
Anagram,
race
a word
car.
Named by rearranging the letters of another.
That's what
word,
it would be. Yeah. It would basically be that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an A in there too, but whatever.
Close enough.
But you're not worried about him getting boxed out?
Not really. I think that if there's going to be a defensive coordinator job, if he's going to make that a job, then he'll get it. As far as the assistant head coach, what the hell does the assistant head coach even do? I can't name one other assistant head coach in the league anywhere. Like job doesn't really mean anything to me.
It seemed important 2 years ago when Bill gave it to Patricia, right?
Starnecchia was one.
Yeah, so like I think
looks like a job where they park guys they don't like.
I do think it's kind of symbolic. Yeah, guys paid by other organizations.
Right.
I do think it's symbolic. Like Mayo should be above Judge, right? We all agree with that.
Yes.
So is he? And if he's not, who's calling the shots on that? I think Kraft wants him above Joe Judge. He should. We all do. Does Bill want that? That's now my fear with it. But I want to hear more Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
McCourty was on, Ryan.
You got it.
With the Greenlight podcast, Chris Long, and he wasn't done throwing bombs. Like, it wasn't just the Steve Belichick doesn't know what the F he's doing thing. He also weighed in on Malcolm Butler.
If there was something to know, we're years past all those guys on the team. You've never heard anybody. Like, none of us knew. I mean, matter of fact, the next year, I remember meeting with Flo, and Flo was like, hey, like, we just got to make sure, like, that whole situation doesn't affect the team this year. Yeah. He was like, because he was, I look back at Seattle when we played them in a Super Bowl and they don't run the ball. He was like, it kind of seemed like that was the end to that team. Like they never, you know, got back to the Super Bowl. And that team was so talented. Like that mm-hmm. Seattle team had everything. He's like, I just don't want that to destroy us. But like, till this day, I still don't know like the exact reason why he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there when I saw he's coming out with a book and a documentary. I said, I can't wait to buy it. Gilly actually texted me. He was like, yeah, I'm going to buy this book ASAP.
Okay, he said Gilly, meaning Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
Can't wait to buy it as well. So, Arkan, you sent this portion of it. What was your big takeaway from McCourty engaging on Malcolm Butler and what he had to say?
First of all, that is pretty explosive stuff to say right there. It's not mm-hmm. at all complimentary of Bill Belichick or any of that stuff, which, you know, again, I mean, we look at Devin McCourty and you think of these other expatriates that get in the media. None of them ever start off like this.
Yeah, this is wild.
Not one of them has ever started off like this. And the whole thing about we didn't let it destroy the team. Brian Flores said, guys, we can't let this destroy it. Bill almost destroyed the team with this, and Flores had to be the calming influence.
But don't you agree? It's one thing to hear it from McCourty, but don't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, me too.
But then to hear Devin McCourty say it, this almost destroyed the team. Brian Flores had to come in and say, guys, we can't let this destroy us. Bill Belichick, with that decision, almost destroyed the team. Like,
again.
That's wild.
I don't want to be the one over here that's like sunshine and rainbows, but makes me love B-Flow, that he has the awareness to come in here and be like, you know, it's one thing to be on a Patriots team where you, at that time, go to the Super Bowl and lose sometimes, and then you go back to the Super Bowl and win. You go to the Super Bowl and lose and go to the Super Bowl and win. So I don't think it's exactly a case like the Seahawks where some teams are destroyed by a really bad loss, by a really bad play call. But I appreciate the self-awareness that Brian Flores was in a position on Bill's staff where he could go into his players and say, we all know that was effed up. In so many words, and we can't let it hang over us this season. It's like, it feels like right now where the Patriots are, at least outwardly, it looks like staff can't even admit that there's a mistake that gets made on behalf of the coaching staff. And now we hear there from Devin McCourty that behind closed doors to start off the season, to start off the off-season program, Brian Flores is going in and being like, yeah, huge mistake last year with the Super Bowl. Everybody's got to move on, okay?
So I am interested now again in the Butler stuff. I wasn't at the time because I'm like, okay, he basically said nobody really knows the answer. So I wasn't all that interested. But if McCourty and Gilmore are like, ooh, I want that book, now I'm interested again.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, Chris Long. I am. I know you are too. I know you are. But here's my real takeaway when it comes to this McCourty like media blitz that he's doing. Because you know me, Mego, what do I constantly say about McCourty and Matt Slater? I'm like, those guys are...
You think that they're boring Bill guys.
They are Bill guys.
And I told you McCourty's not.
Well, so either I'm wrong...
I mean, not a Bill guy. Not that he's not a Bill guy, but he's a very independent guy in his own
right. I doubted that. So either I'm wrong or Bill's even lost McCourty. And this is now what I'm starting to wonder. We talked yesterday. Has Bill lost the team? Has he just lost it? Can't get it back, right? the Mike Giardi report that Jacoby Myers has the team texting him, players on the team texting Giardi and being like, what the hell are we doing? Why'd we let him go? And on top of that, McCourty revealing to Greg Hill last week that the locker room was split over Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones, or there were at least Zappe people and Mac people, which makes sense. That was what was going on throughout the entire region. Now I'm like, McCourty's going out and creating fires for Bill? All these ex-players put out fires for Bill. They, like, fall on the sword. McCourty is creating issues for Belichick? Maybe Bill is even losing the Bill guys. That was my takeaway from this. And maybe I've just always overstated it with McCourty. Very possible. You let me know if I have. 617-779-7937, or at least you think I have. Has Bill lost the team? We talked about this yesterday, and all I can think about with this Devin McCourty blitz, where he is constantly creating headaches and fires for Bill Belichick, maybe Bill's even lost McCourty. And if you've lost McCourty, a Bill guy, I think, then how are you going to get that locker room back?
I don't think he lost McCourty. We're going to find out if that podcast.
If he starts tramping this down and he stops, you know, creating all these headaches, then Bill can still get to him and he'll be quiet.
McCourty was a captain for a long time. He's been a guy for the last, I would say, the second half of his career at least, had the blessing of Bill to be, again, like more of an independent speaker, for lack of a better word.
But they don't like independent speakers. Like, it's an independent speaker for the Patriots. They don't like people. They don't
That's
like people
I'm
to
saying.
Get
well on the spectrum. Of
fine,
it.
Fine.
Yeah, and I, you know, I do think it's a little different now for athletes who are going into media. And that's what Devin's doing, it seems like. I mean, Devin did some media before he officially retired. His brother works for Good Morning Football. I think, look, Devin's just a smart guy. And I think he knows what the line is and that he's not exactly crossing it right now. Like, he's definitely towing it. He's definitely saying things that happen behind closed doors. But look, these are guys who are not here anymore. Like, Brian Flores is not going to catch flack from Bill.
How many players aren't here anymore and won't do that? How many players won't toe the line? Ex-players? Ex-Patriots players hardly toe the line.
Even ones who leave here on bad terms.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So, like, I'm shocked by this. And I love what McCourty's doing. I hope he keeps doing it. Something tells me he's going to tone it down, but I hope he doesn't. 617-779-7937. Let's start it off with David in the car. What do you got, David?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you, David, for taking the call. So, yeah, I believe Belichick has lost the team. And the thing is, when you start bringing in family, Stephen has become, I think, a pretty good coach. You know, but when he first started, and this goes back to, you know, this happens in college and in high school, you know, coaches favor their kids sometimes when it's not the right time to do it, because it's just the way it is. But I do believe that Belichick is, something is going on, and if he's putting Joe Judge on a position to be higher than Mayo, that's a problem.
Yeah, and so, David, what I would say is, nepotism does happen throughout the league, and it probably goes to high school and college and everything else, right?
Throughout the league? How about throughout everything?
Fine. Good point. Right. The entire business world. The entire world. Fine. So that makes Bill like everybody else, right?
Not us, though.
No, not us.
We got here on our own. We're not related anymore.
No. No one's ever done me a favor in my life. And so when it comes to it, I pulled myself up from the bootstraps out of a mud puddle. So when it came to Bill Belichick, he's supposed to do what's right for the team, right? He's supposed to be different than everybody else. And it turns out he's not different. That's my takeaway. Right. That's my takeaway with this. Bill's supposed to be above it. Bill's supposed to be different. Bill's supposed to be better. And he's just like everybody else. He just does the same thing everybody else does. There's nothing special about it. So, yeah, he's not the only one who hires his kids. But he's supposed to do what's best for the team. That's his whole mantra. How's hiring your kids best for the team? Never mind the disaster with Judge and Patricia last year. Eddie's in the car. Eddie.
Ooh. All right.
I don't know where Eddie
Leave
is.
Him on.
Eddie says he lost the team 2 years ago and would never get the team back.
He lost them in 2021.
How'd he lose them 2 years ago?
Cam Newton year?
Maybe that's what he means. I don't even think he lost the team that year. That team overperformed. They had a terrible roster.
Is he off by a year? I don't know what happened 2 years
ago. I don't know. Let's check in with Eddie. It was a very important business meeting going on the other line while he's waiting to talk to us.
Maybe he's like DeAndre Hopkins. He's trying to send a message with his hold music. Maybe that's what he's doing.
Ooh.
Okay.
You saw that, right? DeAndre Hopkins and Buffalo Soldier. Not good news for the Patriots.
But you know what? People shouldn't close read when you post music on social media, because I do that sometimes. People be like, whoa, what kind of mood are you in? And I'm like, the kind of mood where this came on my Spotify and I like this song.
Yeah, we should have learned from AIM. It's hard to post.
Exactly.
It's hard to post music lyrics.
My name is Jonas.
Especially when you don't know the words to a song. That's also problematic.
There he is.
the whale.
has Bill lost the team? We've been talking about this now for a couple of days, and really even longer than that. But I think he might have even lost Devin McCourty. If you lose a Bill guy, who I feel is a Bill guy, that's a bad sign for Bill Belichick. So I'm going to follow Devin McCourty and what he does on this media tour. Because if he tones it down, maybe Bill still has some pull. If not, and he's lashing out like this, I'm going to love it. And it means Bill probably isn't going to be there that much longer. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback coming up. I do want to get to a few thoughts on the Red Sox, a big potential free agent coming up for the Sox. And on top of that, do we overrate Rafael Devers? I think we might. Let's get to it with your phone calls next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Jones and Mego on WEEI.
I've done sort of a 180 on this one because for years I was of the mind, let other teams spend $300-$500 million on players because it's bad business. But the game has changed, and right now, very few impact players even reach free agency. Rafael Devers is the latest example. These guys are getting locked up. When you have a generational talent like Ohtani, and you are a Red Sox team that is desperate for interest, because even if this team exceeds expectations and pulls a 2021, we all know we're just doing the same thing next offseason of shuttling out one-year contract for another one-year contract. Shohei Ohtani is someone you can hitch your wagon to as a fan, as an organization. Yes, please, Chris Gasper.
Cash money records taking over for the 99 in the 2000. Girl, you're working with me back, yeah. You're stacked, yeah. Make it work, spend his cash, yeah.
This is a Mega request?
Yes, because I want you to back that truck up.
For Ohtani? I thought you just had a thing, yes, for Tomasi.
You want to back up the Brinks truck for Ohtani?
Show me, show high.
What would even the debate be? Like, I'm just curious. Who could possibly be out on that?
On Ohtani?
Yeah.
The biggest hater in the world, maybe. No, but one, like, else. Who else would not want him?
But so the number, what's the number that Buster had the other day? Buster Olney at ESPN. It's Jones and Mego with
Arkin. $600 million.
$600 million. Who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? In baseball, it's just about the owner putting his money where his mouth is. So who on earth would be out on Ohtani? Pay for a premium talent, and here's what I really care about, because I don't even care about the hitting or the pitching or anything else. I care that he's interesting. I care that the Red Sox would have somebody who's interesting. He pitches some nights. He hits every night. That's interesting. That would make me watch. That would make me follow the team. And this is a separate thought, but I don't think people do that for Rafael Devers, and I want to get to Devers separately. I don't think the Red Sox have that guy right now. It could have been Chris Sale. I think it was Mookie Betts when they had Mookie Betts. I don't even know that Bogarts was that kind of guy. A guy who you turn on the TV and you go, I have to watch this guy. Oh, it's an Ohtani night? Oh, wow. He's pitching and he's blasting 40 home runs? Like, that to me is the reason the Red Sox should pay him. Beyond any numbers, beyond how he would fit on the team and what they need somebody interesting. They need somebody who's worth tuning in on and watching, or tuning into, rather, and watching. I don't think they have that.
Yes, please, Chris Gasper.
And I'm sorry, I don't think that Devers is that. I just don't think they have it right now.
Ohtani to the Red Sox would fix so many things. And I feel that I can speak freely about this because it's not going to happen, because it's $600 million, has $100 million bigger than any MLB contract.
Right.
But think about it.
Right.
It would be a win-win across the board. So you get Ohtani here. All of a sudden, you have this huge star in Boston. Everybody's excited about the Red Sox again. You can't accuse the team of being cheap anymore. Look, they went out and spent on one star more than anybody ever had. And he pitches, and he's a great hitter. And then for baseball, too, the complaints have always been, oh, you know, the stars aren't on the big teams aside from the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have Ohtani on the Red Sox. You have Judge on the Yankees. Like, for the MLB, this would be great for Ohtani not to be out there with the stupid Angels who nobody cares about.
I know.
He's with the Red Sox.
So it would be good for baseball. It would be great
for... It's good for everybody.
It'd be great for us.
It's quite selfish.
No,
if
very
they don't
selfish.
Do this.
Were you in on... You just brought up the name Judge. Were you in on Aaron Judge coming to the Red Sox?
No, I
Why?
Wasn't. Because he's big and old. Like, it's the same big reason. He looks like he's going to collapse.
It's the exact same reason I was in on Judge. It's the same
like
reason I'm in on Otani.
IKEA dresser.
I don't even
where
care.
Where when you move it out of one apartment and you try to put it in another apartment, all the drawers collapse.
I'm telling you, I'm not paying them for their skill set or being worth the contract or anything like
or
that.
Or how much they look like an IKEA dresser.
No, not that. I'm paying them because they're interesting and they're a player you would tune in for. That's why. There aren't a lot of those in baseball. Baseball does not have many. The Red Sox have zero of them. So I would have paid Judge. Is there any debate with Otani? What's the debate? I don't even get it.
I couldn't possibly imagine what the debate would be. And by the way, Judge was the MVP of the league last year and hit 62 home runs. So, I mean, there's certain guys who I think have won MVP in the past. Mike Trout's a great example. He's not really that kind of big star. Like, he's obviously a great player and one of the greatest players of all time.
He's boring,
but he's boring, you know?
But I do think I think he's the kind of star that would get people to watch in Boston.
Maybe.
I don't know if he gets people to watch in Anaheim.
But the problem is because Anaheim sucks.
Correct.
If Anaheim was good and they were in the playoffs every year, they were in the World Series every year, then people would say, it wouldn't say any of these things. But the rest of that team has been so garbage for the entire career so far of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani that you just sort of want to free him and make the game more interesting.
So I just don't even understand. Who's out? I don't understand who's out. And I didn't really get being out on Judge either, despite his, what was it again? He moves like what?
He's like an IKEA dresser. You know, have you ever bought like an IKEA furniture? It looks nice. It functions for a while.
I understand.
And you're like, oh, it's a beautiful piece. And then you try to move it once and then everything starts falling apart.
The Red Sox should have gotten in on Judge. They definitely should be in on Ohtani. There's not a lot of guys like this in baseball. So that's what they should be doing.
Judgy and blast.
Because again, I don't think Devers is that. Is Devers that? You tell me. 617-779-7937. That's a reason to sit down and watch the Red Sox? I don't know. Meanwhile, speaking of Devers, I was looking at ESPN. They rank the top 100 players in baseball today. And it was a combination of ESPN experts, Aldin Gonzalez, Dave Schoenfield, June Lee, Jesse Rogers, Brad Doolittle. They broke down why each player is ranked where they are, the top 100. And Devers came in 20th, which I'm like, that seems a little low. To me, that was my reaction to it. I'm like, boy, that seems low.
And pitchers included too?
Yes.
Okay.
Not just positional players. Good question. It's pitchers, positional players, the whole thing. And then I counted it out. Rafael Devers is 9th in the American League. He's 4th in his own division. And I ask you, Red Sox fans, do we overrate Devers a little bit? Because I thought he'd be higher than that. I thought he'd be higher than 20th if you just asked me where he would fit in the top 100 before I saw this, and it's just one list. I would have had him higher than that. And if you asked me, is he better than 9th in the league and 4th in the division, I'd say, yeah, I'd hope so. They're paying him all that money. He better be. Do we overrate Rafael Devers, Mego?
Yeah. I think around here we do, just because of the state of the roster and that it's just, you know, you lose Mookie, and then you have Xander and Devers, essentially. I don't know, J.D. Martinez, and you have some other, you know, power in there. But Devers is like the last saving grace of a team that actually could win the World Series. You know, like,
yeah.
And you just paid him. So I think it's doubling down on that investment of, okay, they were proactive with this guy. If we had to lose three players, two of whom are generational talents in Mookie and Devers, we're going to double down on Devers, that he is such an elite talent, whereas the rest of the league seemingly maybe just sees him as a top 20 player.
Well, this is what I said consistently, and Arcan, you probably know this. Like I said consistently, I'm happy they paid him, by the way. They should have paid him.
Yes.
But I said consistently, if they're only going to pay one, I disagree with that, but if they're only going to pay one, I would rather they pay Devers because he's a true MVP candidate. Is he? I'll give you the list. Ohtani's 1, Trout's 2, Judge 3, Julio Rodriguez 7, Jose Ramirez 13, Yordan Alvarez 15, Vladdy Jr. 16, Gerrit Cole 19. So in the division, it goes Judge 3, Vladdy Jr. 16, Gerrit Cole 19.
Gerrit Cole? Ahead of Devers?
I mean, Cole's nasty. He's not good against the Red Sox, and he's not great.
Do you want Gerrit Cole instead of Rafael Devers?
No, I'm saying there's better pitchers in the American League East than him. Like, McClanahan's better than him. Manoah's better.
I would take
Alec
Manoah over him, too.
Yeah, Manoah's better than him. I'm surprised that he's ranked that high. But I put those guys maybe ahead of Devers, too.
Would I personally take Devers over Cole? Probably.
Yeah.
But, okay, but this is their list, so fine. So he's 19th, and he's 3rd in the division? Do we overrate Devers, Arcan?
I think we do a little bit, but I also think that he is very good. I don't think that it's one of those, like, it's one of those players where, you know, like Jack Clark or something, where he's the best player on the team and so you like him, but as far as the rest of the baseball goes, he kind of sucks. He just sells jerseys because he's the best guy on the team. I do think he's a legitimate stud, and I do think that, you know, All-Star game, Silver Slugger awards, like that sort of stuff. He's not a five-tool player. No one's mistaking him for that, but that doesn't always need to be the case for a guy to be a superstar, and I think he is one.
Okay, so a lot of you lining up on this. We'll get to your phone calls. 617-779-7937, along with whether or not Bill Belichick has lost the football team, because I think he has, and I think Devin McCourty going on this media blitz is an example of that. Plus, let's get to all the latest happenings throughout the NFL. That would include Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. What's the holdup? And where do the Patriots stack up in the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes? We'll do that next.
Brian Scalabrine joins Jones and Mego every Wednesday afternoon at 4:30. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant. Scal, Wednesday afternoons at 4:30 on WEEI.